Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm inspired tonight by our Bible study, as we continue to study Moses. Tonight, as we move into the seventh section of this, it's simply entitled Quail, subtitled Sharing the Burden. And as I was preparing, amen, just the scriptures, sometimes scriptures just come alive. And that's always a blessing when that happens, when the scriptures just sort of pop out of the page and the Holy Spirit begins to lead you to different things and remind you of different things. And that's what happened as we were preparing today. Where I believe that leaves us is that we're going to, you know, get into the scripture text here, which is Numbers 11, 4 through 35, and talk about the things that are there and wherever else God will lead us. And my expectation is we probably will touch very few of any of the questions that are in the lesson for tonight, so we can pick up with that next week. But I believe that the things that we'll discuss tonight and that we're here tonight are going to help us to answer those questions even better. Amen. So I'm inspired by that. Amen. As we set ourselves to hear God's word. But that's where I believe where the Lord has us. Let's pray and start looking at the scripture text and listening unto the Lord for his voice. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. One more time, God, you demonstrated your faithfulness unto us on this day. Proof of it is that we're right here, O God. The devil tried to take us out, O God, but here we are, God, ready to hear your voice. And it's none other but through the grace and mercy of God that rests upon us. As Ezra says, the hand of our gracious God is upon us. And so we give you praise and we give you thanks tonight in the name of Jesus for allowing us to come into your house one more time to hear your word, to hear your voice. Father, we ask that you speak unto us, that you will feed us the bread of life, and Father God, that we will be made spiritually stronger as a result of receiving from you everything you have for us. Have your way in this place, God, that your will be done. And we bless you, praise you, honor you, lift you up, magnify you, and adore you, dear God. You are our God. We make our boast in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, let's look at our scripture. Amen. Numbers chapter 11 is where we find ourselves. And we continue to talk about Moses, the leader, amen, of the people of God at this time. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 4. And we'll read from the New Living Translation. And we'll jump around a little bit to other translations as well. But beginning with the New Living Translation, it says this: Then the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain. Oh, for some meat, they exclaimed. We remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt, and we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted. But now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna. Alright, amen. As I was reading, amen, right there, it was like if I was driving a car at 100 miles an hour and I slammed on the brakes. It was like, because I remembered at that particular moment, I said, we're in Numbers chapter 11. And Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1, I have a lot of verses that I love. I love Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Because it can't be any simpler or plainer, and it's one of those things that help check us at all times. Numbers 11 and 1 says, And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Amen. You can keep reading. It says, and the Lord heard it. So the Lord not only, he healed our complaints. Amen. And his anger was kindled. But we just stop right there. When the people complain, it displeases the Lord. And we've talked about this before in here and elsewhere. But it's important, I think, to come back and remember something. Remember Hebrews 11:6, where it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So without faith, God's not pleased. But what's implicit in that is God is pleased with our faith. Amen. When we operate in faith, and forget whether you get what you're looking for. Let's put that aside. When we operate in our faith, because I want to please the Lord. Okay, operate in faith. Because faith pleases God. Right? You think about Jesus and some of his interactions with different people. Right? The Syrophoenician woman who says, bless my daughter is sick. And Jesus said, I'm here to come feed the children of Israel, not the dogs. And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the children's table. And Jesus said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. He was pleased with that. Pleased with her standing in faith, even though he said something that other people might have found insulting or discouraging. And she said, yeah, Lord, but... And he said, great is your faith. Faith pleases God. The centurion, my servant is sick. I'll come to your house, Jesus said. No, you don't need to come to my house, the centurion said. I'm a man under authority. I know how this works. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Jesus said, great is your faith. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Jesus is going, right? Jesus celebrates expressions of faith. Whether from his people or not. Centurion wasn't even saved. Syrophoenician was not even saved. How much more would Jesus go and be so much pleased when his own people stand and operate in faith? But watch this. Haven't we seen? Storm is raging. Jesus is asleep on the pillow. His own people, his disciples, come to him. Wake up, Master, wake up. We perish. Don't you care? What did Jesus do? He got up. He rebuked two things. He rebuked the wind. And then he turned to his disciples and rebuked them for their little faith. God loves the expression of faith in him. Right? So without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when we have faith, God is pleased. God smiles, as somebody said, who says this, I know God's going to do this. But now the flip side is, he's upset when people complain. So what does that mean? That means that if faith and the expression of faith pleases him, and complaining displeases him, must because complaining is a lack of faith. Because if complaining had faith in it, God wouldn't be displeased with it. But he's displeased with complaining, it has no faith in it. So when I complain, when you complain, when we complain, what we're saying to God is, I'm not standing in faith right now. That's why I'm, instead of saying things like, I know God's going to do it, which is an expression of faith, I say, this thing is not going to work. It's not going to be fixed. I'm not going to be healed. I'm not going to get the money. And then start grumbling about it, and God doesn't like that. And he says, you don't even believe in me. Now let's keep going. So, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When the people complain, it displeases the Lord. Now, we don't have to think all that long to believe, to understand that at some point over our lives, just based on this alone, we displease God sometimes.
Just based on this alone. Complaining. Right?
Lord, help us today.
But let's keep looking at the people. And understand, too, that this complaining started from people who didn't know God. It was the foreigners, the foreign rabble, who were traveling with the people. But the people quickly jumped in. And what they do, they start to remember what they used to have. Now watch what they said. We remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt. And we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted. But now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna. Hear what they're saying. Where did the manna come from? God. So now they're saying, we used to have cucumbers, leeks, onions, melons, fish. We used to have that. And now they go to it. But all we have now is this manna. Think about what they're doing. This, where did the manna come from? It came from God. Now watch how God works. 10 lepers come to Jesus. Son of David, heal us. Go show yourself to the priest. As they go, they're cleansed. One comes back to say thank you. Jesus notices that the 9 kept going. And he said, where are they? Why? Because he expected them to at least come back and say thanks for what I did for you. But watch this. It's one thing to take God's blessing and go enjoy it and do whatever you want with it and don't say thank you. That's not good. Jesus notices that. But that's one thing. To take what he gives you and just be all into it so much that you don't even say thank you. And Jesus looks at that and goes, how come you're not saying thank you? Imagine then what Jesus says. If he gives you a blessing and you don't even go to enjoy it, instead you go, this is a load that we got. If he looks at when you enjoy what he did without saying thank you and says, how come you're not saying thank you? What do you think he's saying to us? If he gives us something, we go, all we got is this manna. He's displeased, amen? Because if he's displeased at people not saying thank you but enjoying the blessing, what's he going to be when people are like, all we got is this manna? Now, let's keep our finger here, but we're going to come back. But let's look at Psalm 78. I'm going to start reading from verse 14 as you get there, because the verse that we want to get to is a little bit lower down. So I'll just start to read. But Psalm 78 is giving, you know, some overview of how God dealt with the children of Israel, delivering them from Egypt and so on. And in verse 14 it says, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, I'm reading King James Version now, and gave drink as of out of the great depths. He also brought streams out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. Right? So the Lord heard it and was angry. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Now, in the New Living Translation, right there, verse 21, it says, when the Lord heard them, he was furious. The fire of his wrath burned against Jacob. Yes, his anger rose against Israel, for they did not believe God or trust him to care for them. You hear that? So, that's why God doesn't like us complaining. Because what we're saying is, I don't trust you to care for me. And see, here's the thing. I've been doing something the last couple of days, and it's been really, really helpful. in a certain devotional, they're doing a word study on the works of the flesh. And what's really helpful about it is that the author is saying, when we look at these words, we need to look at the origin of the words so that we can understand how God sees these things. And that's going to be really powerful. So then when we get to things like idolatry, we go, well, idolatry. But he says, no, you got to look at how God sees that. And then after you do that, you tell me what you think about it. In other words, what he's saying to us, a lot of times what we do subconsciously, we begin to look at the Bible from our own point of view. But it's God's word. And we have to look at it from his point of view. Right? Because, for example, if we look at sin from the point of view of God, we wouldn't try to be so dismissive of things that we don't do that's right. We would be just as serious about it as he is if we look at it from his point of view. But when we look at it from our point of view and say things like, well, I'm only human. See, God doesn't look at it like that. God doesn't go, you're only human. You don't see that. But when we look at it from God's point of view, we then say, ooh, I need to change this. You know? So look at this. So now, here's the people that are saying, oh, I have this manner. But look how God viewed that. It says, right, he heard them and was furious. He was angry, for they did not believe God or trust him to care for them. Now, I may be thinking, well, I'm just having a bad day, so I'm just letting people know. But that's not how God is looking at it. God is looking at it, don't you trust me to make good out of this? Don't you trust me that I can turn this thing around? Because if you did, you wouldn't be complaining. So he gets mad at that. Because it's evidence to him that we don't trust him. But see, we see it from our point of view, we just think, well, I'm having a bad day. The car broke down. This happened. That happened. You know, everybody has a bad day. Yeah, everybody does have a bad day. But God is saying, you still should trust me to take your lemons and make some lemonade out of it. So it says that, watch this. So his anger goes against Israel, for they did not believe God or trust him to care for them. Verse 23, but he commanded the skies to open. He opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna for them to eat. He gave them bread from heaven. They ate the food of angels. That's verse 25. In the King James Version, it says, man did eat angels' food. Why are we stopping here? Because this is the stuff that they said, all we have is this manna. But you know what God called manna? Angels' food. If you look in the Amplified Version, it says, everyone ate the bread of the mighty. Manna, from God's perspective, was the bread of the mighty. Angels' food. Dispensed directly from heaven. And here these people are receiving angels' food directly from heaven, and their response is, all we got is this manna. Give me some cucumbers. Because all we have is food directly from heaven. Oh, now you understand why God's upset with these folks? Because they don't understand. When they're getting blessings directly from heaven, they go, all we got is this manna. Now, let's see how God responds to them. Let's turn back to Numbers 11. So we can let God speak for himself. Let's go to verse number 7. The manna looked like small coriander seeds, and it was pale yellow like gum resin. The people would go out and gather it from the ground. They made flour by grinding it with hand mills or pounding it in mortars. Then they boiled it in a pot and made it into flat cakes. These cakes tasted like pastries baked with olive oil. The manna came down on the camp with the dew during the night. Moses heard all the families standing in the doorways of their tents whining, and the Lord became extremely angry. Verse 5. When the people complained, it displeases the Lord, right? And we can see here, when folks start whining, he gets extremely angry. All I'm saying is if we see this from God's perspective, maybe when we start going, maybe we go, if we fear God. Because God gets extremely angry at it. Right? So Moses hears them whining, and the Lord becomes extremely angry. So watch this. He doesn't, he's displeased with complaining, and he's extremely angry with whining. It says, the Lord became extremely angry. And then it says this, Moses also was also very aggravated. So the leader was even getting aggravated too. Right? And Moses said to the Lord, and look what he says, why are you treating me, your servant, so harshly? Have mercy on me. What did I do to deserve the burden of all these people? What does that say? Complaining, whining people are a burden to the leader. Right? Amen? He said, what did I do to deserve the burden of all these people? That's it. Amen. Somebody sharing the burden here. Did I give birth to them? Did I bring them into the world? Why did you tell me to carry them in my arms like a mother carries a nursing baby? How can I carry them to the land you swore to give their ancestors? Where am I supposed to get meat for all these people? They keep whining to me saying, give us meat to eat. I can't carry all these people by myself. The load is far too heavy. So complaining, whining people make God extremely angry and displeases him. It aggravates the leader, and they become a burden to the leader, to the point where the leader says, this is too heavy. And look what he says now. If this is how you intend to treat me, just go ahead and kill me. Do me a favor and spare me this misery. So you know what that says? Being around whining, complaining folk, Moses said, I'd rather die. Come on, somebody. I'd rather die than be around whining, complaining people. Why? Because they're heavy, man. You ever hear people come around and they complain and like a heaviness fills the air? It's like, oh, this is wrong, that is wrong, this is that, and like, oh. And Moses has all these people. He said, and all he said to God, he said, kill me, Lord. I'm better off dead. Think about that. I'm better off dead than being around these folk who complain. He said, get me out of this misery. Then the Lord said to Moses, watch what he said. Gather before me 70 men who are recognized as elders and leaders of Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle to stand there with you. I will come down and talk to you there. I will take some of the spirit that was upon you, and I will put the spirit upon them also. They will bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not have to carry it alone. And this is part of what the lesson is getting into about the sharing of the burden. God was gracious unto Moses by saying, give me 70 people who can help you bear the burden of these people who are so heavy with their complaining and whining and moaning and groaning. But watch what he says, though, in verse 18. And say to the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow you will have meat to eat. This is what God says. You were whining, and the Lord heard you when you cried, oh, for some meat. We were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will have to eat it. Look what God says. And it won't be for just a day or two, or for 5, or 10, or even 20. You will eat it for a whole month, until you gag and are sick of it. For you have rejected the Lord who is here among you, and have whined to him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? So you see what God says? Oh, okay. What I gave you from heaven, the angel's food, is not good enough for you. You want some meat. Okay. I'll give you what you want. You hear that? God said, I'll give you what you want. You want meat so bad that you're complaining about what I'm providing for you? Fine. I'll give you what you want. And you know what? No. If it's so good to you, you ain't getting it just one day. You're getting it for a whole month. You like meat so much, I'm going to give you plenty of meat. You know the world says sometimes be careful what you ask for? Why? You just might get it. Right? Oh, you want some meat? Okay. And so much so that you want to complain about the manna? I'll give you some meat here, and you're going to gag on the meat, and you're going to eat it for 30 days. And now Moses says to God in verse 21, he said, God, there are 600 foot soldiers here with me, and yet you say I will give them meat for a whole month? Even if we butchered all our flocks and herds, would that satisfy them? Even if we caught all the fish in the sea, would that be enough? Then the Lord said to Moses, boy, I just added that part. He says, he didn't say boy. he said, has my arm lost its power? Now you will see whether my word comes true, whether or not my word comes true. So Moses went out and reported the Lord's words to the people. He gathered the 70 elders, he stationed them around the tabernacle, and the Lord came down from the cloud and spake to Moses. Then he gave the 70 elders the same spirit that was upon Moses, and when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But this never happened again. Two men, Eldad and Medad, had stayed behind in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but they had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet the spirit rested upon them as well. So they prophesied there in the camp. A young man ran and reported to Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' assistant since his youth, protested, Moses, my master, make them stop. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them all. Then Moses returned to the camp to all of Israel. Why do you think Moses said that? He said, I'd rather have them prophesying than complaining. Amen. He said, I wish everybody could prophesy. Because if they were prophesying, which only means proclaiming the word of the Lord, get that. Amen. All it means is you're proclaiming the word of the Lord. Do you know when you go by his stripes, I'm healed? You're prophesying. Because you're just proclaiming the name of the word of the Lord. Right? So what's he saying? I wish these folk would be saying God's word, because if they were speaking God's word, they wouldn't be complaining. Now let's look at what the Lord does. Verse 31. Now the Lord sent a wind that brought quail from the sea and let them fall all around the camp. For miles in every direction there were quail flying about 3 feet above the ground. So the people went out and caught quail all that day and throughout the night and all the next day too. No one gathered less than 50 bushels. They spread the quail all around the camp to dry. But while they were gorging themselves on the meat, while it was still in their mouths, the anger of the Lord blazed against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague, so that the place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, which means grave of gluttony, because there they buried the people who had craved meat from Egypt. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the Israelites traveled to Hazeroth, where they stayed for some time. Now, in the King James Version, right, it talks about how while the flesh was yet between their teeth and while they were chewing it, the Lord was upset with them. Okay, you got the meat, but the Lord was still mad. Why? Because they had been complaining. Now, in my study Bible, in the New Living Translation, for verse 34 is talking about, you know, the people that craved meat. It has an interesting comment I want to share with you. It says, craving or lusting is more than inappropriate sexual desire. It can be an unnatural or greedy desire for anything, sports, knowledge, possessions, influence over others. In this circumstance, God punished the Israelites for craving good food. Their desire was not wrong. The sin was in allowing that desire to turn into greed. So get this, right? Because nothing's wrong with quail. Nothing's wrong with wanting some meat. Right? Nothing's wrong with a car. Nothing's wrong with a house. Nothing's wrong with clothes. Nothing's wrong with jewelry. Nothing's wrong with money. Nothing's wrong with positions of power and influence. But when those things become first place in your life, now it's a problem. When all you want is meat to the point where you turn your nose up at angels' food, that's a problem, right? When all you want is the
4,000 square foot house, and now you're dissatisfied with your 2,500 foot square house. That's a problem. When all you want is a promotion, that you now despise your job. That's a problem, right? So it says their sin was in allowing the desire to turn to greed. Watch this. It said they felt it was their right to have fine food, and they could think of nothing else. When you become preoccupied with something until it affects your perspective on everything else, you have moved from desire to lust. And that's why God was upset with them. Because it wasn't that they wanted meat, but the meat got to the point where it changed their perspective on what angel food, this angel food. Right? When they first saw it, they were so glad manna came down. They said, what is this? And they were glad God sent manna every day. But now they got to the point, we want some meat, and all we got is this manna. It messed up their perspective. They wanted meat so bad that they despised food that came directly from heaven. I love what, if you can turn to Psalm 106, because here's another psalm that deals with the children of Israel during their desert wanderings. Again, I'm going to begin reading in the New Living Translation, Psalm 106. Let's look at verse 9. Talking about God, it says, He commanded the Red Sea to dry up. He led Israel across the sea as if it were a desert. So He rescued them from their enemies and redeemed them from their foes. Then the water returned and covered their enemies. Not one of them survived. Then His people believed His promises, then they sang His praise. We just got there for a second to say, okay, yeah, it's easy to believe God after He's done something for you. Right? And so that's why the psalmist says twice, then they believed Him, then they sang His praise. And then one time He switches in verse 13. Yet how quickly they forgot what He had done. They wouldn't wait for His counsel. In the wilderness, their desires ran wild, testing God's patience in that dry wasteland. So He gave them what they asked for, but He sent a plague along with it. In the King James Version, verse 15 says, He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Leanness into their soul. So here they were complaining, they didn't even like the angel's food anymore. Despised angels. All we got is this stuff from heaven. God was angry with them. They started whining, He was furious with them. He said, okay, I'm going to give you what you want. It's so important to you that your perspective is all messed up, that you don't even know this food's coming from heaven. Okay, here, take this food. But it says, I give you this, but I'm sending leanness into your soul. Now, I had looked up the word leanness, right? In fact, let me do this. Matthew Henry, you know, he's one of the preeminent Bible scholars, right? And he has a lot of commentaries out there. There's a lot of people that have commentaries, but Matthew Henry is a very popular one. He said this. He said, I'm talking about leanness to the soul, in their soul. It says, He filled them with uneasiness of mind, terror of conscience, and self-reproach. Right? And reproach is disappointment or dissatisfaction. Right? But he said, I give you all the meat you want, but I'm sending something that's going to go into your soul. And you know what it is? It's an uneasiness of mind. Oh, you got what you asked for, but now you got it with an uneasy mind. No peace. Oh, here, you want it? Here. I give you what you asked for, but I'm sending leanness into your soul. A terror of conscience. I'm sending leanness into your soul. I'm sending self-reproach where now you look at yourself and you're discouraged and disappointed in your own self. That's what leanness is. But also, look what he says. He says, many that fare deliciously every day and whose bodies are healthful, you eat good, you feel good, have leanness in their souls. And then he puts a colon. No love to God, no thankfulness, no appetite for the bread of life, and then the soul must be lean. Now, when we think about this, when God says, "Beloved, I desire that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers," we understand that the soul is the deciding factor, right? Our spirits follow God. We're spirit, soul, and body. Our spirits follow God. Our body or our flesh doesn't follow God. So now, whether we prosper is going to depend upon which direction our soul goes. So now, when God now sends leanness into your soul, guess what? You're done. You're done. But how did leanness get into your soul? How did they get to their soul? Because they were complaining. So what happens then? If you're going to prosper even as your soul prospers, but complaining leads to God sending leanness into your soul, guess what you're complaining does? It leads you not to prosper. Because you're going to prosper even as your soul prospers. So, we stop and we look at this thing and we say, okay, we know we're going to be looking at Moses and him sharing the burden, but we see one thing about the leader. He looked at this and said, boy, these people are heavy, Lord. Why? Because they're whining and complaining. And then he said, I wish they all would speak the word of God. And pastors all over the universe said, amen. But isn't there something that comes to our doorstep and makes us want to look and say, okay, Lord, what, how am I, right? Because none of us want to be in this place, do we? Where we know that God is displeased and he's very angry and he's agitated and he concludes, you don't trust me to take care of you. And then he said, okay, here. You want this so bad? I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. But you want to flip that script and get your meat first? Fine, here, take your meat. You want to flip this script and get your job first? Fine, take the job. I'm going to send leanness into your soul. I don't know about you. I'd rather not have to quail and have a healthy soul. I'd rather not have to quail and have a good relationship with God. I'd rather not have to quail and have God pleased with me because I'm standing in faith believing that he's going to send me some meat tomorrow, but not demanding it to the point where I'm not satisfied with this manna. Do you know you could want something from God and still be satisfied with what you currently have? Right? Yeah, I want more. I want more people. I want a bigger house. I'm not saying, I'm just saying as an example. Like, I want a bigger house. I want a higher paying job. I want more clients. I want more business. But I'm not going to look down on the angels' food and say, all I've got is this. Amen? That's what the people did. They looked at stuff God gave them and said, that ain't good enough. This is what I want. They had a list. I want leeks, I want onions, I want cucumber, I want melon, I want garlic, I want fish. We shake our head at that, huh? Why? The dumb Israelites. Right? Not us. Those Israelites. Because God, we now, oh no. Amen. Let's stop and talk about this for a few minutes. Amen. What do we think about this? Right? We all sometimes grumble, don't we? Right? And sometimes, well, I can speak for myself and others can speak for themselves. There's rarely a time when I'm complaining or grumbling about something, I'm just being honest, that I don't believe I'm 100% entirely justified. Mm-hmm. What did you say, Brandon? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Like when you say something, right? I mean, you know. Because you even said what? Sometimes it even comes out your mouth. I have a right to be upset. Have You know, there's certain rights that we have, like the right to vote, that come from the Constitution of the United States and from state legislation and stuff like that. You know, the right to do certain things is usually found somewhere. Does anybody know where the right to complain is found? Where is it? No, because we claim we have the right. Where does it come from? Declaration of Independence? The Constitution? State legislation? Where does it come from? Where's that right to complain found? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? The right to bear arms? Okay, that's Constitution. The right to vote? You can find that. You know what I mean? The right to register your kid in the school district? Oh, you can just find that in the code. Because you live within the parameters. You know what I mean? Rights come from somewhere. They don't just exist. So, anybody who ever said, I have a right to feel this way, right? Where is it? Right. It's a self-created right. So, Brandy, why do you think that you felt that way? Like, when things are going in a certain way and you sort of mumbling, complaining, a little dissatisfied, why do you feel 100% justified? You know. Why?
Maybe I think that I didn't do anything wrong or do anything to deserve what I was happening. Yeah.
Yeah. That second one was a doozy. I didn't do anything to deserve this. Because, you know why it's a doozy? We don't want to get into that territory. We don't want to get in the territory called deserve. Because, oh gosh, if God treated us according to what we deserve, we wouldn't be here. Right? But we think that way, right? And see, just like the people here, and that's why the writer I was really captured by the footnote in Numbers 11 and 34, where it talks about when what you want becomes the sort of, like, it's really so important, it blurs perspective, it said, right? And so what happens then, we start saying things like, I don't deserve this, or I have rights. So you start to think in a way that is just sort of out there. But I know that when I get upset and I'm mad and everything, I feel like I had every reason. And then you said other thing too that's important. There's not, because I don't feel like I did anything wrong. But yet, I'm grumbling. So what happened then? No, right, yeah, now I am. But I mean, as far as my mind is concerned, if I'm grumbling about something, and I'm convinced I didn't do anything wrong, somewhere, there must be somebody who I think did. It wasn't me. It might have been you. It might have been him. It might have been them. And watch this. It might have been God. You know, some people get to that point where they think God is doing something wrong. And so I've got every reason to complain. Why? Because I've been standing on this promise for 15 years and God hasn't delivered. Ooh. Amen. What do you think we can do to stay out of this dangerous territory? I'm telling you, this is dangerous territory. When you see how God responded to the people. And here's the thing, and one of the other commentators said this, and I want us to not miss this. If it wasn't for Moses, because this wasn't the first time or the only time, if it wasn't for Moses going to God on the people's behalf, God would have taken them out. And yet I'm convinced that there's plenty of them who went to the grave thinking they were right. They went to the grave oblivious to the fact that the only reason why they were still walking around was because somebody else went to God on their behalf. Think how dangerous this is. Because you know what happens, like when you can get away with something, you think it's okay. But it could be that, you know what, God just backed off because somebody stepped in on your behalf and said, Lord, have mercy on them. Amen.
You know what, Pastor, what I think about in that, because if I were the people and I had the same, I love pizza, but if I had it every day, I would complain too. But I wouldn't say, God, give me some, you know, I don't want this. I would say, thank you, God, but I would like something in addition. You know, that's not really complaining.
I 100% agree. That's what I'm saying. You can want something different. You can want something better than what you have. But you still need to be thankful for what you have, because what you had came from the hand of God. And we can never overlook that. Right? You're absolutely right. See, to me, if you start from a place of thankfulness, you're starting in the right place. If the first thing you say is, Lord, I thank you for this pizza. You can even say, Lord, I thank you that for the last 152 days, you've given me pizza. Right? But start from a place of thankfulness. Lord, I thank you for this pizza. You don't have to provide this for me. You provide it out of your love, and I'm so appreciative, and I receive it with sincere thanks and in faith. But Lord, I just come asking you, can you give me something else? Can I have a hamburger tomorrow? Can I have a hamburger tomorrow? You can say, and Lord, if you don't decide to give me a hamburger, then I don't want it. But Father, I just come to you because you said I can make my request known. I'm just making my request known. I'd like to have a hamburger tomorrow. And until then, Lord, I still lift up my hands again and give you praise for everything you've done for me in Jesus' name. That's not complaining. But you can ask for things without going, this manna. I don't want this manna. Give me some leeks and onions and some fish. Amen? Amen. The thing that really struck me, and again, we're going to close, but the thing that really struck me about this is two things. One, God responds to it. And, you know, again, like I said, Numbers 11 and 1 is one of those etched in your spirit, and for me, it's etched in my spirit kind of a scripture. Even though I don't know what it's like, amen. You know what I mean? It's one of those guiding lights and beacons that you know, okay, this is not an easy one, but it's so clear. But the thing that has struck me about this passage and the passage we read in the Psalms is how God took the people's reaction. He took it personally. He said he was angry because they didn't trust in him to care for them. He took it personally. And if you think about it as a natural parent, you would do the same thing. If your children were complaining about everything around the house, right? Because that's saying to you that what you're doing as parent is not good enough. And I don't think you're going to give me better than this. And when your heart is, I'm going to give you everything I have. If that's the response you get back from your children, it leads you to also say, you don't trust me to take care of you. And for a God who gave his son, and it didn't happen at this time, but this is still his heart, right? And for us now, living in under grace, for God who gave his son for us, right? How he who didn't spare his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give you all things? And for us to look at that and go, yeah, I know I'm saved because you gave your son, but I need some fish. God said, you don't trust me to take care of it. He takes it personally. And I think we got to get that in our mind. God takes this personally. The other thing that stood out for me was how it affected Moses. how Moses, as leader of God, was ready to throw in the towel. Not because he just simply is not up to it, but this type of environment that he had to deal with, it just overwhelmed him. It was a burden to him. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews that, you know, that we need to listen to our leaders, right, so that they can perform their service with gladness, because it's better for you that they're able to do that. And how many churches just wear their leaders out by complaining, not knowing that you're burdening them to the point where they're saying, like Moses, I'd rather just stop. I'd rather stop than deal with these. It's a heavy burden. That's what Moses was saying. And that really struck me. Because it's not that Moses is a weakling. He's not. But here, this strong man of God, who God has chosen out of all the people on earth, he chose Moses to lead his people to freedom. This strong man of God, yet is ready to give up because the people's heart and attitude are so overwhelmingly burdensome. He said, I'd rather die than continue to be around these people. That's really a striking, and it makes us on two levels say, Lord, help me to check this thing so that I don't displease you, that I don't hurt your heart by thinking, by demonstrating that I don't trust you to care for me. I don't want leanness in my soul. But also, too, for whoever my leader is, and I think this is something for all the churches to just keep in mind, that you don't want to burden them to the point where they feel like giving up. Because they got to deal with your whining, complaining self. You know what I mean? Amen. Lord, help us. Amen? Amen. So listen, we're going to look next week at sharing burden. And this is more of God being gracious to Moses, where he called the 70 elders and took some of Moses, the spirit that was on Moses, and spread it around so that Moses wouldn't be overburdened by these folks. So we'll look at that a little bit more next week. But hopefully this thing will sort of set us up in a way just personally to think about, okay, I don't want to be in a situation where my leader needs to be like, Lord, I'm putting in my pink slip. But also, more importantly, want to live in a way that pleases God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks. So God, we thank you, Lord, for being our kind and gracious God. And Father, we can't stand here presumptuous at all, God. We know that we all have been in the complaining, whining camp at some point or another. And Father, we just ask you, God, to look upon us with kindness as we repent of all those times, oh God, that we have done that. When we have declared it was our right to feel a certain way, and we felt justified, oh God, in offering up our displeasure. But Father God, we are grateful that you reminded us tonight that when the people complain, it displeases the Lord. Father, it is our desire to always please you, and faith pleases you. So Father, let us walk in faith, let us talk in faith, let us dance in faith, let us think in faith, oh God, let us speak in faith, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Let us do in faith, even let us sleep in faith, oh Father, that God, that you will be pleased with us all the day long. And Father God, we are thankful for all the angels' food that you have given us, all the manna that you have given us, our jobs, our homes, our children, our church, our ministry, our finances, oh God. Everything is from your hand. And God, we don't deserve any of it. But Father, we are yet thankful. And Father, help us to be thankful even while we are believing on you for the greater. And Father, we just thank you and praise you, God, that by your Spirit you can help us to walk properly in this area, that God, that we will always demonstrate that which is pleasing to you, and that is our faith. Father, we give you praise and thanks for it. Father, we ask you to be mindful of the leaders all across the body of Christ. And Father God, we ask you to give them strength, oh God, strength to hold up against and to hold out against those who may not be in the right spirit, God. And help those who are maybe complaining and being a burden to their leader. Give them revelation and let them know that this is not helpful to anyone. And that if they could change and change their posture and change their attitude, that it could make a world of difference in that church for that man and woman of God and for their lives. And so, Father, we just give you praise and thanks right now as this word goes forward in faith. Father, as we prepare to leave, God, we just ask you to go with us by our pathway home. Thank you, God, for the blessing of this day. You are truly a wonder in our soul. Glory to God. We lift you up. We magnify you. We boast in you. We brag in you. You are an awesome God, and there's none like you. We give your name praise. We give your name glory. We simply, God, truly, truly love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.